Well, when I heard Pastor Alcock was coming to Newfoundland, going to be here for a time, I certainly wanted him to come and preach for us. I had talked to him and talked to his pastor down there a little bit over the last couple months, and talked about some... Are you going to tell him this morning or tonight about your exciting... This morning you are? Okay. I had talked to them, and I appreciate them. I've known them, of course, since their college days, and I think we knew Michelle before that from Hamilton, seeing her at high school activities and things like that. And I've known to grow and love this young couple. They're great servants of the Lord. I appreciate them so very much. We've spent a lot of time with them when they were here in Newfoundland in Deer Lake, and then God moved them on to Brampton and then to Mississauga International Baptist Church. And we've kept in contact with them, not as close as I'd like, but kept in contact with them over the years. And God is using them a great way. And, their influence, even in Deer Lake, is still going on. I met the young lady that lived next door to them when they lived there in Deer Lake. And she was a waitress at the Swiss Chalet up here on Kelsey Drive. And I met her. I thought I recognized her. And she was so excited that we knew the Gillards and knew the Alcocks, and she's got some issues, and you need I firmly believe she would not be where she is today had not been for Mark and Michelle's influence on her life, and things would have been a whole lot different in her life than they are now. And I praise the Lord that through their time there, they saw folks saved, saw families. And I appreciate that so very much. And God's using them a great way in Southern Ontario. And I believe that in this future, these changes that God is bringing about in their life and ministry over the next months, that God is going to expand their ministry there. So, Brother Mark, you come ahead and preach for us.
Thank you, sir. I have a really deep voice this morning. It's the effects of camp. Take your Bibles and turn to John chapter number 3. It's so good to be here. Now, if you see some of my kids roaming around the parking lot during my message this morning, it's because back home we only have one service in the morning. We rent a facility, and the folks who own the building come in. And so my wife had to gather Matthew out waiting for us to go home already this morning, because we already had one service, so it was time to go home. So it's just a little bit different here for us this morning. But so glad to be here, and glad to be here for the last couple weeks in Newfoundland. We've had a wonderful time at the teen camp, family camp, and Pastor Stanford did a great job, and all those wonderful helpers. I will not name any more names because I don't know who did what, but it was great. And you do need to plan to be there next summer. It's a great opportunity to get away and refresh and recharge. It's great to be at First Baptist Church this morning. I certainly appreciate the opportunity to preach. And to be here, and your support and prayers over the years have been a great encouragement and a huge source of us to continue serving the Lord. And I'm thrilled to see the Lord working and hearing things. And I'm so thankful for Pastor and Mrs. Holman. We have a great relationship now, but a couple of years ago when I was in Bible college, a few times he had to wrap my knuckles pretty hard to get me in line, but I'm sure glad he did. And Mrs. Holman was able to help me pass English. That was a major feat in itself. So I really do appreciate them and their family. And we're glad that they're here, and they're a real great encouragement to us in the ministry. And so I know Pastor Holman had mentioned to you that I had a big announcement. I had people come to me at camp and ask me about it and things. So you're going to get it right now, okay? The Lord has been working in our lives, and I've been assistant pastor there at Mississauga International Baptist Church for 2.5 years now. If you didn't know, we merged the church that I took in Brampton with their church about 2.5 years ago, and serve the Lord. Pastor Thiessen's a great pastor, a great friend, and we just serve the Lord together. And about a year, or last summer really, it started that I started getting phone calls from churches looking for pastor, and emails, and then just friends referring me and things. And at first I was very humbled that anyone would ask me. It was not what I was expecting. And it continued and continued, and so I started praying about it. Lord, what would you have us to do? And I spent a lot of time all summer praying about it. And the Lord moved in my heart that, yes, I do want you to become pastor, senior pastor again. I definitely like what I'm doing at Mississauga, but the Lord was leading. And I knew him in September, so I sat down with Pastor Thiessen in November. And I told my pastor, I said, I think this is what the Lord's doing. And I shared some things with him that the Lord worked in my heart about. And he listened. I desired his support. I wanted him to be behind the move and whatever the Lord would have for us. And he listened very intently. He usually listens, but he was really paying attention to me this time. And he looked up at me. I said, do you know any place I could go? I need a place. And he said, I have a spot in mind. And I was so thankful. I was like, Lord, I've been praying. You got a spot in mind. And he goes, here. And I don't. You ever been in a situation where your brain really can't keep up with the information that's being computed? And I'm like, here, you're here. If you're asking me to stay, you're leaving? You know, that's the kind of way it was. And he said, yes, the Lord was moving him onto some missionary work and helping younger churches, younger pastors in that realm. And so it's a big steps to follow. Pastor Thiessen started the church there, Mississauga International Baptist Church, 20 years ago in October. He's been there. And he started with, I think, about 20 people. And the Lord has blessed. And we run about 180, 200 people Sunday morning now. And it's lots of opportunities. And so he said, let's pray about it. I said, yeah, that's a fact. I'm going to pray about that. I wasn't expecting that day. It was one of the few times in my life where I was speechless. I didn't have anything to say. And so we prayed about it. And the Lord gave me peace to say yes on two conditions. One, that Pastor Thiessen wholeheartedly recommend me to the church to be the pastor. And then obviously the church to vote me in as pastor. And that's going to take place in September. The 24th, that vote will take place. And Pastor Thiessen's already recommended me to the church. And the church is excited about it. I haven't heard too many people say they're going to vote no for me anyway. And so we'll see what happens on the 24th of September. So that's about 7 or so weeks away. And hopefully, if the Lord's will for me to be there, then I'll become the second pastor. That's a great heritage as well, great testimony that Pastor Thiessen's been there that long. And so there'll be a transitional time. And then in January, Pastor Thiessen will officially hand the baton or whatever word you want to use. And then I'll become the senior pastor there. And then he's going to move into that missionary work. And we have a very ethnically diverse community there. We have Italians, Portuguese, Ukrainians, Filipinos, Jamaicans, folks from England, Irish, Scottish, Americans, Nigerians, people from India, Romanian, Dutch, Chinese, and Jewish folks. I'm sure I missed somebody else. I was thinking about it this week. We have all kinds, and I do not know all the languages that are spoken in our church. I just know one language, and that's food. And man, our potlucks are amazing, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, they're truly amazing. But the world has truly come to the GTA. There's everybody from every place seems to be there. So we are looking forward to what the Lord will do. And just pray for us. And you can imagine the spectrum of emotions that one moment I'm so excited, another moment I'm scared to death. And just pray for us. And I would appreciate that so much. And pray that the vote goes the way the Lord wants and that we'll go forward in unity, serving the Lord. There's a great cause there. All right, John chapter number 3. If you've got any more questions, I'll talk to you after. Not a problem. John chapter 3. I'm going to preach a message this morning called Don't Settle. Don't Settle. A man was traveling on a great ocean liner many, many years ago from London to New York City. And day after day, he would pull up a chair on one of the deck chairs there and eat cheese and crackers for breakfast, lunch, and supper. I mean, I don't know how long it took back then to go across the ocean, but he had a big bag of cheese and crackers because he ate that the whole way across. Until the final day, one of the ship's officers saw this guy sitting out there munching on cheese and crackers. He goes, why don't you go in and eat at the dining room and eat with the rest of the passengers? And the man said, I can't afford that. And the officer replied, man, you paid for that when you got the ticket. Why you been out here eating cheese and crackers the whole time? You know, and so often, we as Christians, we're saved. Amen? Praise the Lord. We know we're saved. We're on the ship to heaven, if you want to use that analogy, okay? But we miss out on so many blessings the Lord has for us because we're not committed as we should be. Or we're not in the Word of God as we should be. And I believe that we're satisfied with so little when God has so much more for us. We need to be looking to the Lord and seeing what He would have for us. And I hope you're just not satisfied with coming to church Sunday morning. I mean, if that's it, my goodness, you're barely on the ship as such. You're on the ship, but that's it. You know, there's so much more opportunity out there to serve the Lord. And the Lord offers great happiness and joy for those who will follow Him deeper and deeper and further and further. First thing I thought about, we'll get to John chapter 3. I haven't forgot it. Don't settle for salvation without assurance. Don't settle for salvation without assurance. It's wonderful to be saved, is it not? Amen. It certainly is wonderful. And the Bible tells time and time again that we can know about, Paul knew it, I know whom I believe it, and am persuaded that it'll keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. There was no doubt in Paul's mind that he was saved, and that he's eternally saved, and that God was able to keep his word. And listen, Paul was human just like us. He got discouraged. He sinned, but he knew the Lord had him in his hand. Now, a man came across a local minister, and they started talking about eternal security. And the minister said, I don't know whether I'm going to heaven or not. What a useless minister. Really? You get in God's word and you know. He wasn't much help to that guy at all. What the Bible tells us is not just Pastor Mark or Pastor Holman telling you that you can be saved, and once you're saved, you're eternally saved. The Word of God says it. And that's the most important thing. What the Word of God has to say. Our salvation rests in the person of Jesus Christ and Him alone. Amen. Now, nothing else. We become children of God by coming to Him. And hey, we sinners. We're lost. And understand that we're lost. And we need to repent of that sin. And in simple childlike faith, trust in Jesus Christ. It is wrong, it is unbiblical when someone preaches that save you have to keep doing right to keep yourself saved. Now, when you get saved, you want to do right, amen? Amen. It's not a matter of keeping you saved. Salvation is all in Jesus Christ. John chapter 3 and verse number 16 says, if I get there myself, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have little life. Oh. No, it's everlasting. It's not like the Duracell battery. It lasts and lasts. No, this is eternity. When we get saved, when we accept Jesus Christ as our personal Lord and Savior, we are saved forever. Forever we are a child of God. All that come to the Father give me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. John chapter 6, verse 37. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans 10, 13. I love those verses. They encourage me from God's word that when I place my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, I am His forever. I have assurance that I'm a child of God. Some might say, oh, how do you know for sure you're saved? Well, there's a good response for that. If you follow instructions we find in Scripture like this, John chapter 1, verses 12 and 13, but as many as received Him, that's your decision in trusting Jesus Christ as your Savior. So as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. That's your entrance into God's family, right? And you're now part of God's family. Even to them that believe on His name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. So it's not a physical birth, but of God. It's a spiritual birth. So the response is, how do you know you're saved? Well, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Savior. In that manner, in the sense of you trust in Jesus Christ and Him alone. You're saved. And we know you're saved by your changed attitude towards the world. It's amazing when I've met people and I've witnessed to people and saw them get saved, how the Lord works in their heart and they have a changed attitude. I don't need to go to tell them that drinking is wrong. They figured it out on their own. Because the Holy Spirit works in their hearts. Or the language they use. I shouldn't use that anymore. I don't have to give them a 14-point outline for that. The Lord works in their heart. There's a change. Can you remember when you got saved? There's a change. I certainly hope there's been a change in your heart since you accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. As a Christian, the things of Christ should satisfy, not the things of this world. Christ satisfies. We can get caught up in the things of the world. I can get caught up just like anybody else. A preacher met one of his members on Monday morning and said, I heard that you were at the ball game yesterday. We really miss you at church. We'd love to see you back out again. And the man replied, oh no, preacher. I assure you, that is a lie being spread by some gossip in church, because I got the fish to prove it. We get caught up in the things of the world pretty quick. And we need to watch out for it. We need to renew every day, get in God's Word every day, and look to Him. D.L. Moody once said, I've never known a Christian who was of any good in the work of Christ who did not have assurance of salvation. You need to have that. You need to get that settled. You need to know, understand that God saved you. He saved you forever. Now, I've had some people say, you know, well, if I'm saved, I can do what I want. No, when you get saved, you want to serve the Lord. Amen. You want to do what's right. Folks, don't settle for salvation without assurance. Go to the Bible and find God's Word. Understand it to be true. I'm telling you right now, a whole lot of Christians' answers for life would be answered if they would just get in the good old book. Get in here and understand it and read it. If you don't understand it, look for it. Ask your pastor about it. Ask someone who's knowledgeable in the Word of God about it. Be sure that you're a child of God. Then live like it. Amen? So don't settle for salvation without assurance. And then don't settle for conversion without a vital church connection. Don't settle for conversion without a vital church connection. Church membership is not part of the plan of salvation, but it's part of the Lord's plan for your life. It is a definitely part. It's vital. It's vital. The Lord put the church here for His people to serve in and reach others with the gospel and encourage. The Lord knew that we need to get together, didn't He? He knew that we needed to get together. It'll be a place of fellowship and encouragement. Time to hear God's Word. Sometimes it'll be a place to get convicted of sin in our life. Other times, a place to be encouraged. The burdens on you are heavy. You're going through a hard time. The Word is preached and the burden is lifted, or you got a strength to face the burden ahead. He knew it. He knew it would be a place to recharge our batteries. Look over in Hebrews chapter number 10. I'm sure you know this verse or heard it preached. Hebrews chapter number 10. Hebrews chapter number 10 and verse number 25. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, but as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. What's the writer trying to tell us? We need to be together, amen? And we need to be doing it more and more. And he refers to the coming of the Lord and exhorting one another. That's all part of church. And you need to be part of it. And being part of it is just not sitting here on a Sunday morning and didn't see anybody else or do anything else the rest of the week. No, you need to be part of it. Get your hands in there. Get working. Get busy for the Lord. Folks, as followers of Jesus Christ, we need to be part of a local church. There's no way around it. I've had people tell me they don't go to church because their church isn't what it used to be. Now, I know, sadly, there's many churches that are not preaching the Word of God like they used to. But that doesn't give you an excuse not to go to church. You need to find one that does stand for the Word of God, and one that does preach the Word of God, and one that tells you exactly how to get saved, and one that will encourage you to serve the Lord, and one that will exhort you, and the preaching will convict you. You need to be in a church like that. And if you need to move, you need to move. You need to be a part of a local church that the Word of God is being preached. Be in the church house where the church doors are open. I can remember my mom and dad dragging us to church every week. Now, we didn't scream or bawl too many times, but I still remember it. And it hasn't hurt me a bit. I might have put on a few pounds staying extra at potlucks, but at any rate, it hasn't hurt me. It hasn't anything. It's encouraged me. It's helped me. Now, it needs to be part of who you are. Like, you know, you get up in the morning, and I know here we drink a lot more tea, right? I've drank more tea here than I did for probably a year in Ontario. But, you know, back home, it's coffee. You get up and you have your coffee. Well, just like you have your coffee every morning, and when the church doors are open, you're here. Amen. And it's just not a tradition. It's because you need to be here. You want to be here. You need to be encouraged. You need to encourage someone else along the way. Hey, be the old faithful members who are here, not just because you're old in age or mature members. All right? No, be here all the time because this is where God wants you to be. You know, don't be once in a whilers or up and downers. You know, you never know when you might come. No, be faithful. Be faithful. Be involved in the ministry of the church. Be involved in the giving to the church. Be involved in the mission of the church. You can't do it if you're not here. You need to be part of a local church. Don't settle for eternal life without holy living. Don't settle for eternal life without holy living. A preacher was once told by an individual many years ago, I've been saved, and I know that once I'm saved, I'm always saved. Absolutely correct theologically. I know I'm on my way to heaven, so it doesn't matter very much how I live my life. Wrong answer. No, it does matter a great deal how you live your life. But what a sorry Christian to think that way and to live for the devil and do the things of the world and do wickedness when they could live for Jesus Christ and they could impact lives. Listen, you don't have to be a preacher to impact lives of those around you. No, you don't. You don't. You can do it today. Hey, I can remember as a little guy, the Bonnells lived next door to us. And I can remember them influencing us for Jesus Christ. He's not a preacher, is he? Last time I heard, he wasn't. He's not here to defend himself, so that's a good way of doing it, isn't it? Now, you can influence people for Jesus Christ. Now, you can do it. Be involved, and that's part of your testimony to those around you. The Bible clearly teaches us as Christians we're to live righteously. Look over at 1 Peter. 1 Peter. Chapter number 1. First Peter chapter number 1. And we'll start down verse number 14. As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lusts in your ignorance, but as he which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, be holy, for I am holy. Look over in chapter 2 and verse 9, the same book. 2 verse 9, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, an holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who have called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. We need to live holy. Do you get that from those verses? And these verses are telling us that we need to live a life that is different than the world. We're chosen people. We're peculiar people. We're different. We need to be standing for what's right and encouraging those around us and those behind us to serve the Lord and be a testimony of that in our own lives. It would be of no earthly good for you to say, no, you little people, you do what's right. I'm going to do what's wrong. Well, no, they're going to follow your example, how you live, rather than what you say. Now, so live for Jesus Christ. Your life does matter. Don't believe the world and say, you're insignificant, you're no big deal, you're no big cheese, you don't got much money. Listen, forget all that. Serve Jesus. Do what he has for you. And you'll impact those around you. Sad to say that many today are ineffective for Christ because they just want to live like the world. And not like what 1 Peter tells us, to live for Christ. I don't know, I've been around some of those Christians like that, and they're the most miserable people I've ever met. Why? Because the Holy Spirit is convicting them, and they still want to do what's wrong. And they're the most miserable. They really don't like me very much. I thought I was a really nice guy. When I come around, they kind of dart out the door, and they make faces at me as they run away, and all those other things. The reality is we need to be serving Jesus Christ. And you can tell you story upon story of those who have served Jesus with their life. And they might not have been a great speaker, maybe never preached. But they have affected those around them in a great way. And then I can tell you stories of those who have not. And I've seen how they affected others around them. Determine your heart today that you won't be one of those who won't serve Christ. You'll be one of those who will. And you will serve him with all your heart. I can remember a fellow I went to school with, Bible college, and he was my last year there. He seemed all sold out to serve the Lord, and then he was all excited when I left Bible college. I don't know if he was excited because I was leaving or not, but at any rate, he was all excited about me serving the Lord. And the next thing I heard, he wasn't living for the Lord. That was sad. Now I'm glad to tell you today that he is serving the Lord. He got back at it, and he's pastoring now at West, and he'll be the first one to tell you that he made some really bad decisions when he got away from the Lord. You don't have to make the same mistake he did. Learn from his. He'll tell you, don't go away from the Lord. Live that righteous life. Live that holy life. Serve him day in and day out. I really believe God blesses those who are faithful to him. Amen. He'll give them the greatest blessings. And I'm not talking about the prosperity garbage. I'm talking about He'll bless your life in ways that you never thought possible. You know, and He'll watch over you. He watches over all His children. But isn't as moms and dads, we love to see our children do right, and we heap praise and blessings to them and riches to them who serve and do what's right? Oh, we do. We still love the children who don't do what's right, but it's a different situation, isn't it? I don't give little Bobby here a sucker when he just kicked a little girl in the knee. I still love you. I'm a little bit ashamed of you at the moment. You know, but I'll give Joey over here, who's been nice, I'll give him a candy and reward him. Our Heavenly Father rewards those who are faithful to Him. Amen. You see through the Scriptures. He does that. Live for Him. Live for Christ. Don't settle for heaven without a crown. Don't settle for heaven without a crown. Jesus said, lay not up for yourselves treasures on earth where rust and crops and thieves break through and steal, but lay up treasures in heaven. Oh, I don't want to be one who comes to heaven with nothing to offer my Lord Jesus Christ, empty-handed as such. He'll reward the faithful. God desires us, I've already mentioned through this sermon, He desires to be part of a local church that's serving, that's ministering, involved, and not occupied with ease and pleasure as such, but occupied for reaching out for Jesus Christ. And you serve the Lord and it'll be crowns. I remember about 6 years ago, we were putting together a crib. We just moved into maybe a little bit longer than that now. We were putting a crib together. We just bought our house on Larswyn Gate in Brampton. And me and my neighbor were the only white people in the whole neighborhood. Everybody else is from everywhere else in the world you can think of. And we were putting our crib together for our youngest, Matthew. And so at certain ages with children, you do something and everybody comes and stares at you. Have you ever noticed that, parents? You know, like 5, 6 years old, like, they're so inquisitive. They want to know exactly how that bolt went in there and why does it go around, like different things like that. So I was putting this crib together and I had a pile of people over my head. I can't say I always enjoy that, especially when I make mistakes. They're like, oh, you did that wrong. Kids never do that here in Newfoundland, do they? Of course they do. They do it everywhere. So a bunch of them are there. And somehow, Grandma Cluett came up. Great-Grandma Cluett. I don't know how she came involved in the conversation. But she came up, and I think it was that the last time we had put this crib together, she was alive. She had passed away in between us moving and things, and she was saved. She had a great testimony for the Lord, and we were telling our kids about her. So even in heaven, great Grandma Cluett was encouraging those around us, all right? So just keep that in mind, too. Your testimony lives on. And we were telling the kids about how she loved the Lord, how she served in her church and things, and my daughter Hannah was very concerned about going to heaven that night. You know, I want to know for sure how I'll get to heaven, Mom. And I remember Michelle taking her to the other room and showed her the Scriptures, and she was ready. She had already been asking some questions. This was just like the straw that broke the camel's back. I got to get this settled tonight. And she got saved. Praise the Lord. We were so excited. She came out and told us. Well, her big brother was the most excited. He was the most excited. He just about came unglued. He was so excited. Because you know why? For the last couple of years, I heard Nathaniel in the back seat telling her, you need Jesus. You need to accept Him because that's the way you get to heaven and He loves you. You know what He was doing? He sowed the seed, right? Yep. Then He was watering the seed. You know, and He was encouraging that growth. He wouldn't let it go. Now, he wasn't every time he was with his sister, he would pester her with it, but every once in a while, he'd just drop a little bit more water on it. Hey, praise the Lord. He encouraged it. He'll get a crown for that and for others that he's witnessed to and ones that I've tried to witness to the Lord and try to see get saved. And so, I don't save them. I bring them the gospel and they accept Christ as Savior. You understand, the Lord rewards those who faithfully serve Him. Encourage that. We all have tasks that we can accomplish. I know not every individual is called to be a pastor. I understand that. But we all can sow the seed. Amen. We all can. You know, there's people in your life that only you can reach. Only you. If Pastor Holman showed up, you're like, no, I don't want to talk to him. If I showed up, you're like, who's that guy? I don't want to talk to him. I want to talk to you. Why don't you tell me about Jesus? There's people in your life that only you can reach. Reach them. Don't shy away from it. We can assist their church in some manner and serve the Lord. Maybe write a note of encouragement to a missionary or to the pastor and encourage those who are missing in church this morning. I don't know who attends here. I mean, I know some of you, but I don't know all who come to church here. Now you look around today and say, I know someone's missing. Well, give them a phone call. Encourage them out. Encourage them to serve the Lord. Disciple new Christian. The list can go on and on. The last words found in Sir Walter Scott's diary were, "Tomorrow we shall." But there was no tomorrow for him. He died with good intentions to accomplish a certain goal. A goal that was never stated in his diary, so thus never accomplished by him. Every person has goals and dreams that he or she longs for, plans for, even begins to reach. Hey, as Christians, let's not miss the goal in serving Jesus Christ. Amen. Let's keep going forward. I know that sometimes our goals are not accomplished because we live busy lives and things come up and opportunities, whatever the case is. But the most important thing is give your best to the Savior. This past vacation, I'll be honest, this doesn't really feel like a vacation. It's just like going from one post to the next. We're just running all over the place. Usually we go on a vacation, we don't know a soul. But everybody knows us back here, so we're seeing everybody. And we get the opportunity to see Emily's second grade teacher in Pasadena. We were able to sit down and have a chat with her. And I didn't realize that she had this little statement in her class. I might get a little bit wrong, but the idea is that you do your best and you help those around you do their best. And that shouldn't that be the motto of every Christian? I'm going to do my best and I'm going to help those around me do their best. Obviously, those around you make the decision if they will, but I'm going to be a good testimony of Jesus Christ. Folks, don't settle for second best for Jesus Christ. Give Him your all and you will not be disappointed. And most importantly, God will be glorified. Amen. And He will be magnified. Settle accounts with the Lord. Never put things in a back burner. Get committed. Serve Him. Never settle for salvation without assurance. Never settle for conversion without a vital local church connection. Never settle for eternal life without holy living. And never settle for heaven without a crown. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Dear Jesus, Lord, I pray You'd help us in every walk of life, from those the youngest to the oldest here, Lord, help us to be committed to serve You. Help us not to be settled and content with what the world has to offer, but Lord, that we desire to serve You and do what's right. Lord, I pray these things in Your holy and precious name. Amen. Pastor Holman.
What a great message and what a great challenge.